divorce. Even thinking about getting a divorce can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker. Today we have a very important conversation for anyone who is thinking of dating or who is dating after divorce. Today we're talking about the importance of safe sex and what that means. Now, I know that can be uncomfortable, even embarrassing, and it's a difficult conversation to have with new partners. But today, our guest is going to give us some great tips on how to approach that and to make that pledge to yourself that you are going to stay safe. Now, before I introduce my guest, I do want to give a plug to the show. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please go to iTunes, give us a rating, and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And you can get more divorce-related information at my blog, sincemydivorce.com. Now, on with our show. My guest today is Dr. Patricia Weitzman. Pat is a senior research scientist at the Environment and Health Group and a life coach. Welcome, Pat.
Hi there.
And Pat, let's start by having a conversation about what actually is safe sex? Is there such a thing as 100% safe sex?
No, there isn't. It's really safer sex is the appropriate way to think about it. And condom use can greatly reduce your risk for contracting a sexually transmitted infection or HIV, but it's not 100% guarantee. Only abstinence is that. But using a condom is a very smart and very effective way to greatly reduce your risk.
Okay. And that could be a shift for a lot of people in the older age group who are divorced and now dating. You were telling me earlier about some of the statistics about STIs and what led to your project that you're working on right now. Could you share those with our listeners?
Sure. I mean, some of the statistics are quite kind of surprising, but between 2000 and 2010, overall rates of STIs doubled among older adults over the age of 50. Chlamydia diagnoses tripled among adults age 45 to 54, and more than tripled among adults age 55 to 64. Since 2003, the number of older women diagnosed with HIV has gone up by about 40%. And most older women, as much as 90% of older women, contract HIV from heterosexual intercourse. And in fact, I mean, not to be too alarming, but I think it's a serious issue. Some public health scientists believe that the STI rates among older adults are even higher than what we know about because many older adults are not getting tested, and unfortunately many of their doctors are not raising the issue at all with them.
Wow, those statistics are startling.
They are.
So, I mean, part of me naively thinks or would think, surely you would know if you had an STI or an infection or something was different in your body, and you're telling me that maybe you go to your doctor and they don't necessarily test you for STIs.
Exactly. In fact, the truth is that most older adults, in the case at least of HIV, most older adults are diagnosed after the virus when they're more advanced, because for all of the reasons that you said, you know, they don't realize that they have that the symptoms that they have are in fact symptoms of HIV, and their doctors don't test them, and they don't think of getting tested. So as a result, it's often that they find out they have HIV as a result of some other health event that occurs, and they're further along, and it just becomes harder to treat.
So we have a huge education gap here.
Exactly.
Let me ask you then, if you're starting to date, I think that from my work with a lot of women who are going through divorce, who are in that position, they feel really awkward about having a conversation with a new partner about safe sex. And do you have tips for how to approach that? So that, I mean, I can imagine, like, you, is it just about being more conscious about making that decision to be physically intimate?
Well, yes, it is about that. Although there isn't a formula that works for every person. So I think that the most important thing, it seems to me the most important thing, is deciding who is going to take care of you. Are you going to put your health and well-being in somebody else's hands? And if the answer to that is no, which I hope it is, then you have to act accordingly. And there are all different ways that women approach it. And some of the, you know, we've actually asked women for their advice and gotten some really good suggestions. One obvious one is to have condoms. Have them in your purse. Have them in your night table. Don't leave it up to chance.
Don't assume that your partner's going to have a condom.
Exactly. Chances are he won't. So you need to have the condom. And if you feel awkward or uncomfortable about walking into your local drugstore and publicly buying condoms, well, you don't have to do that anymore because it's so easy to buy condoms online from places like drugstore.com. I'm not getting money from drugstore for saying that, right. But I mean, you know, there's lots of online resources now to just easily and discreetly buy condoms.
You'd even buy them at the supermarket and do the self-checkout so nobody, you don't even have to face the teller.
There you go, right. So there's that. Once you've committed to taking care of yourself in this way, you know, you can decide. Some women actually sort of think about it in advance, like visualize themselves before going on a date. Like, when will I bring this up? If things start to be moving in a nice direction and we're both enjoying each other, when do I want to bring it up? It can be more comfortable for many women to bring it up while you're still out on a date, before things kind of progress back at your apartment. And so you can bring it up then. If you find that having a couple glasses of wine actually, for many women, that will interfere with being effective in this way. So it may be that you'll also make the decision to go easy on the wine, if that's going to affect your judgment or your ability to really have an effective conversation.
Right, because you might just cast caution aside and say, oh, it's just this once. I'm not going to worry about it just this once.
Exactly. You can be right, you know, straightforward. You know, for me, condoms are important. How do you feel about that?
Right.
And proceed into a conversation. Some women started by saying, I've been tested. Have you been tested? And again, it doesn't mean you wouldn't use a condom if you've both been tested. But it's sort of a good to know and a beginning of a conversation.
So I want to stop you and talk about a couple of points you just raised there. One, you said that men are less likely to carry condoms. And I know that we have men and women listeners to the show. So I think, you know, safe sex is a message to both men and women. It's not just for women. But I'm curious, why would men be less likely to carry condoms?
Well, I would assume that men would be less likely to carry condoms because many men don't realize that they could get an STI from a female partner. There's just a lack of education. I mean, people over the age of 50 sort of didn't come up with the HIV crisis.
Right.
And on. And so there's just a lack of awareness on both men and women's parts.
So they're thinking about condoms more for birth control, and your mind goes to a woman over 50, can't get pregnant, don't need to use a condom, I'm good.
And I'm not gay. I mean, it's just sort of a naive idea that, well, if I am not gay, then there's no chance that I have HIV, so I'm not going to be a threat to any woman who asks me to wear a condom. I can say, no, I'm not gay, but that's just a very uninformed, because anybody could be infected with an STI or HIV, heterosexual people, obviously, and not know about it. If you've been having unprotected sex, then indeed you could be infected.
Right. Right. And that goes back to, you can have an infection, not necessarily have symptoms, or you can have symptoms and your doctor, because of your age group you're in, may not even think about testing you for an STI.
Yep, exactly.
So, and you had said one way to raise this up is to have a conversation about STI testing. And I wanted to ask you, like, when should somebody actually go get tested for STI?
Well, I think if anyone is deciding they're going to go out and start dating and become sexually active, this is the time. I mean, get tested.
But
knowing your status.
Right. Okay. And I know you're not a medical doctor, but I wanted to just share in a presentation that I recently went to that there are some sexual transmitted infections that do not show up on testing, like the herpes virus won't show unless there's a active outbreak. So testing is good. It kind of goes back to what we opened with, you saying that there's no such thing as 100% safe sex. The tests are never going to be 100% accurate because of there are these dormancy periods for certain conditions. But it's a way of getting more reassurance about your health.
Yes, I would agree. Mm-hmm.
But it is only as good as your last partner. So those test results can be out of date as soon as you have another partner.
Right. I mean, safe sex, in my view, safe sex is the way to go. And at some point, if you're in a monogamous relationship and you're both crystal clear, maybe, and I mean, this is a personal decision that nobody can, you know, I mean, this would be a moment where perhaps you talk to your doctor and say, okay, I'm in a monogamous relationship. I believe that he is, you know, not sleeping around. When can we take a condom off? But that's a very individual thing, and that's a discussion to have with your doctor. You know, but if in doubt, safe sex is the way to go, in my view.
Right. Well, I have more questions about that coming up. I just need to take a short break right now. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce. And today we're talking about safe sex and dating after divorce. It's an important topic for any of us. My guest today is scientist and life coach, Dr. Patricia Weitzman. Pat, would you like to share a little bit about your website, divorceafter50.com?
Sure. It's a website that we created with funds from the National Institutes of Health, and it's designed for women over the age of 50 who are divorced or separated, and we provide a range of, we sort of provide information in a range of areas, including gray divorce, online dating and doing that safely. We have a fair amount of information on safer sex. We have videos. I think the videos are really, really rich. Videos of older women who have been dating, sharing their experiences about what it's like out there, and sharing ideas about practicing safer sex. We have a Facebook page where we share, you know, things in the news that are relevant to women over the age of 50 who are dating. We have an online community where you can create conversation with other women, such as yourself. And we also have, importantly, we bring to it a positive psychology perspective. What that means is our emphasis and point of view in all of the information that we share is on resilience and creating the life that you want post-divorce.
That's a great message, Pat. And so I would encourage our listeners, like, don't be too rigid about divorce after 50. You know, if you're in your mid-40s and you're looking for advice on dating after divorce, then go ahead, visit the site. And also, men, I know that I hear from a lot of men that they struggle to find information for them. When I looked at divorce over 50, the conversations about condom use and some of the objections, which we're going to talk about in a minute, apply just as much to men as they do to women. Because, Pat, I'm guessing one of the most common ones is questions that you get is, how do you handle a situation where your date says, I don't really want to use a condom?
Well, I mean, you have to be prepared to protect, to take care of yourself. So there are many different statements that your date may say. I don't have HIV. Don't you trust me? And you can say, of course I trust you, but anyone can have an STI or HIV and not even know it. So I can't catch something from you, and you can't catch something from me if we use a condom.
That's a good one. That's like the don't you trust me, is that response is like, it's not about trust. It's about being safe, taking care of ourselves, and it applies as much to you as it does to me. What about for those people who say, well, you know, I've never used a condom before. I have no idea how to do it.
Well, I can help you. I have one right here. And you can, you know, I mean, you can go to our website. It offers some advice about using the condom, but, and there are other reliable websites that do that, but, you know, you can say, I'll show you how. And just as another related point, these are not the condoms of old. The condoms that are available now are much better, quite honestly. They're thinner. They're less likely to be, you know, they're just not your grandma's condoms, if you whatever. I know, that's a little weird. But, you know, you can get them easily. And, you know, for older women who may need some lubrication, there's good water-based lubricants that you can use with a condom. So it's really not the same as using a condom, you know, like it was in 1970.
Right. And I know that there's also female condoms now.
Yes, there are. There are female condoms. In fact, on our website, there is information about the female condom. They're not quite as widely available, but some women prefer them. And as one woman said to me once about go with a female condom, she said, slip off to the bathroom, you insert a female condom, and nobody knows it's there, and you are safer.
Wow. So I think what I'm hearing you say is, like, if somebody is objecting because the prior experiences. It's really going to be a case of experimenting and finding a condom that works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what about the situation where somebody says, no, you know, I just can't do that. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I would say that's the moment where, again, back to the earlier point of who's going to take care of you. Are you going to put your well-being in someone else's hands? It's the moment where you say, well, I'm really sorry. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable proceeding. And that's, I mean, if a person, if you're with a guy who draws the line there, number one, I would say, well, you have to say sorry, because hopefully you don't want to put yourself at risk. But I think that's something that's really important information about that person as well. And if that's where he's going to, if he's going to draw a line, it's just, in my view, it says something about who he is and his level of respect and open-mindedness and you know, do you really want to be with a person who would be that adamant about something that, in my view, it's important and it's the right way to go, and it respects both people in the relationship.
So what I'm hearing is that if somebody really is not able to use, says that they are not willing to use a condom, that is a red flag for bigger issues about the relationship that you really need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to me, absolutely.
Interesting. So that, and I know that that's difficult because you get kind of caught up in that moment of wanting to be sexually intimate and not wanting to end the relationship. And it does mean stepping back and taking a more of an objective view of what's going on.
Right, and that's why some women prefer to have the conversation sooner rather than later, because as difficult as it can feel when a guy says, sorry, I'm not willing, it's maybe easier if you haven't advanced to the point where you're starting to really feel, you know, sort of a lot of chemistry and a lot of urge, you know. So.
Right. Right. So, Pat, let me ask you, what are some of the other common questions that you get asked on your website about safer sex?
The questions center in the area that we've been talking about. I think that one of the things that's important for women to recognize is that they may not hear about this from their doctors. And once they're aware that they need to practice safer sex, it kind of leaves some of them scratching their heads, like, how come my doctor has never raised the issue with me? And that's hopefully in the process of changing. But I think women need to feel comfortable raising the question with their doctor, asking their doctor, you know, for testing, asking them for advice about practicing safer sex. And if your primary care doctor is not responsive to that, and some of them unfortunately aren't, not all of them, but some women are more comfortable asking a gynecologist, for whom this is really very much in the realm of where they, you know, their focus. So that can be a place where it's easier and more productive to bring up that kind of conversation and get the real direct guidance about, you know, sort of safe sex, as well as how to make sex with a condom comfortable post-menopause.
So, I think that's a good point, though. I mean, I'm shocked that women don't get that information from their doctors. I can see how it happens. But most women do still go to their doctors on an annual basis. Men don't have those same annual checkups. So I would think that men are at even more of a risk of not having a conversation with a doctor about the importance of safe sex.
Right. And I would say, I mean, this is not an area that we have focused on, but I would encourage men to bring the issue up with their doctors. And ultimately, if you feel like you're not getting the answers that you need, and this is what I would say to a woman as well. I mean, most women have another option of going to a gynecologist or starting with a gynecologist. Whereas if a man is feeling like he's not really getting good information, or perhaps it's time to consider finding another doctor.
Right, right. So, Pat, we're almost at the end of our show here. Are there any other key messages that you'd like to get across?
Well, I think that we've touched on the key ones. I mean, I think, first of all, it's important to educate yourself, men and women. There's now some good information out there. It exists on our website. You can go to the National Institutes of Health. The National Institute of Aging has information on their website. So I think educating yourself is number one. And as one woman who we spoke with as a part of our research said, you can't unknow it. Once you know it, it changes you. And that's why education is so important. And then I guess the practicing safer sex, knowing that it's the right thing to do, knowing that inside, before you proceed into the world of dating, is key. And knowing that you can get decent condoms out there, you can get them discreetly, that there are ways to, you know, water-based lubricants can make it very comfortable. You know, I guess the last thing I would add is have a sense of humor about it. That really, you know, everybody's a little funny about sex conversations. Everybody giggles a bit. And to embrace that and to bring it in there and not be afraid to sort of say, hey, this is a little awkward, or I'm a little embarrassed. And just proceeding, in a sense, with humor and a light touch can be the best way to have the conversation. And in fact, can create some real connection between two people. Humor has a way of doing that. So I would encourage women and men to approach the conversation with a touch of humor, but also know in your heart and make a commitment to yourself about taking care of yourself.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pat. Listeners, my guest today was scientist and life coach, Dr. Patricia Weitzman. Dr. Weitzman is associated with the website divorceafter50.com, and I encourage you to visit there for some more resources. So thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, I just want to echo that fabulous message from Pat that I encourage you to make a pledge to yourself that you will keep yourself safe, because you are the first person who's responsible for you. Dating after divorce should be fun. It's about rediscovering yourself. It's about being excited about life again. But it's not fun if you're not safe. So please do not put yourself at risk. Do make the effort to get educated on this and to find out more about your sexual health. Before we end, I just want to say, if you have a question or a concern or a topic about divorce you'd like to see us to talk about on the show, please do shoot me an email at Mandy, M-A-N-D-Y, at mandywalker.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for more conversations about divorce.